This week, I took Alf into London and I randomly bumped into a friend, and I've not seen her since, well, the pandemic, but also since I became a mum. And she is a mum to a boy. And the moment I saw her, she literally burst into tears and hugged me. And obviously, it's like so sad to think that she's struggling, but it was also really nice to think that, like, all the struggles and the hardships that we go through as mums, that we're not alone. It's also allowed me to like be there for her and to hopefully like reach out more, because I know that she is finding things difficult at the moment, but it also, I feel like connected to her. And I think it's like such a good thing to talk about, because there's this kind of like thing where we feel like we have to like be happy or strong, especially as mums. We don't want people to think that we're not coping, but actually sometimes when we're not coping, to be able to like talk about it with someone, it allows them to help, but also connect and share their story as well. So I actually wanted her to come onto the podcast today, because not only can we talk about all the struggles and the things that we're going through, but I know for a fact that she really struggled with something that I am currently going through, and that is postpartum hair loss. I don't know if you guys experienced it or are experiencing it or are maybe worrying about experiencing it, but if you have any tips or tricks, I would absolutely love to hear them, because I actually thought I might have avoided it because I'm nearly 10 months postpartum now and I just hadn't had it. But maybe it's because Alf isn't really like breastfeeding as much in the day. So I'm actually recording this and it's 5 p.m. and he has not breastfed since 8 a.m. this morning, which is practically unheard of. So in some respects, I feel amazing for it, because I'm like, freedom! It just allows me to get more done. Obviously, I need to have somebody here to help. So in today's case, Tommy's mum is kindly downstairs while I'm doing this, but I feel less attached to him, but not in a way that I'm like, wow, I might be able to start seeing friends again more and doing things a little bit better. And it's exciting because he's growing up. But in the other sense, I feel a bit like, oh no, this like beautiful journey that I've loved is like, feels like it's starting to come to an end. Although at night time, I'm not gonna lie, he is still an absolute boob monster. For anyone who is breastfeeding, or actually bottle feeding, do you find that your babies feed less overnight? Because I feel like the night time is meant to be the period when your boobs fill up, but Alf is pretty much like, obviously we're still co-sleeping, but he is just constantly on my boob. On a good night, I'd say he feeds 3 times, but I think my boobs are also his dummy, and I've tried dummies, but they're not working. But anyway, I digress from the hair side of it. So with hair, I don't know if it's because I'm not breastfeeding in the day now that my hormones are starting to change, and so my hair's like, okay, now we can leave, see ya. But I do feel a little bit stressed about it, and I know for a fact that my friend and my guest today also went through this.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I know you're going to love my guest today. She is someone I consider a friend, but also a model, a presenter, mummy to her son, Cooper. She is known on Instagram as The Georgia Edit, where she posts amazing content about parenting, women's health, fitness, beauty, lifestyle. And the reason I love her account so much is because she is very good at documenting the real, honest truth of parenting, the highs and the lows. Welcome, Georgia Jones.
Oh, that was possibly the best intro I think I've ever had.
Is it? Oh, yeah. I love that.
That was so nice. I was like, oh, is that me she's talking about?
I always find when someone else introduces you, it's a little bit like having a hype man. Like, I wish our reflections in the mirror did the same.
I know. I wish I, because if someone ever says to me, so what, like, what, how would you describe like what you do? I would never describe it like that. But hearing it was really nice.
I get so awkward when people ask me what I do. So I've just kind of started to become friends with some of the mums from swimming club, and they were talking about like maternity leave and going back to work. And then they were like, oh, when are you going back? And I was like, oh, I'm already working, but I'm really lucky. Like, you know, I've kind of never had to leave work. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, so what do you do? Which is obviously a really normal question. And I was like, but I'm like going to panic mode because I don't know what to say. And then I'm like, oh, I'm like a presenter and a DJ, but I'm not really DJing at the moment. And I do bits on Instagram and I guess I'm a broadcaster. And then in my head, I'm like, why are you making this like really uncomfortable for everyone?
No, I do exactly the same thing. I mean, if ever I crack, like, I'm a model into it. I'm like, and normally if I'm at the like nursery gates, I've got my hair squirt back, no makeup on. I've like just done whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I am a model, but I know I don't look like one right now, but I am one.
I've found that I've started doing that a lot on social media, and someone pulled me up on it in a nice way the other day. One of my followers was like, I've noticed that you keep being like overly apologetic. Because I said, oh, like, sorry for doing a pouty face. And they were like, you don't have to be sorry.
Yeah, you're allowed to do a pouty face if you want to do a pouty face. That's like me with selfies. Like, I've started trying to do them again, but after becoming a mum, kind of thought that I shouldn't be doing them, and I don't really know why. But I was like, if I'm a mum and I'm posting a picture where I think I look nice, people are going to be like, oh, she's a bit of an idiot. But before, it didn't even bother me. I didn't even really think about it. But it's so weird how like your mindset changes.
Do you think it's because of like what you feel like a mum should be or should be doing?
Yeah, maybe. And if I'm there, you know, like posting pictures when I've maybe put my makeup on and stuff, people are going to be like, oh, well, look at you having time to put your makeup on. I'm like, well, you know, my job requires me sometimes to like have my makeup done, or like, you know, if I'm going to an event or putting my makeup on to shoot content, for instance. You know, and
but
I'm
also,
like,
let's be honest, the days, like, we don't all, I don't care who you are, and we don't all get to do our makeup and hair and stuff every day. And not that we need to or want to every day, but the days that we manage to get a blow dry, or whether that's like a DIY one at home, or even better in a salon, not that I've done that since lockdown, and get our makeup done, like, you just feel like you've got your shit together a little bit more. Or at least I do. Do you find that?
Yeah. It's just a treat as well. You're like, oh, I want to show this to the world. Like, how rare is it to look like this? So I'm going to show everyone. I'm going to have a little show off. Why not?
My current thing with selfies is I don't think it's becoming a mum thing, but I think it's an age thing. And I think it's because I don't necessarily like what I see back in the reflection, because I am struggling with age. And I think because I'm breastfeeding, so even if I wanted to change my appearance, I can't anyway.
Yeah.
I've always said, you know, when I was younger, I'd be like, I'm going to be one of those people who grows out gracefully. But now that I'm kind of, I don't think I'm old. I'm 34. So if you'd have asked me when I was 25, I would have thought that was ancient. But now I'm like, do you know what? We live hopefully to where 100. I think the UK average lifespan for a woman is 85, 86. So by all accounts, we're not even halfway through. So we're very young. But being 30 plus, I was like, oh, I'm starting to notice like fine lines and wrinkles and pores. Oh, and sometimes even when I do my makeup, I'm like, what is this reflect? Why is my phone lying to me?
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, do you know what? The more makeup I put on, it seems, the older I look, because it sits in your creases.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I feel like when I was younger, I loved wearing foundation, and now I love how we're not even talking about children at all yet.
I know,
but now,
like makeup,
a good light CC cream is definitely, especially because I don't know how Cooper is sleeping or how he slept as a baby, but sleep for me is not the one, and it just gets all caked up in your tired eyes. And Did you find that becoming a mum made you more, not necessarily insecure, but did it make you think a bit more about your appearance because of all the changes that you went through?
It was really weird, actually. I'm probably more insecure of my body now than I was when I was like breastfeeding, for instance, because I think after I'd had Cooper, I think I was just in awe of my body. I was just like, I can't believe what I've just done. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, what I've just done, pushed a human out. So I was just kind of like amazed by myself. Whereas now I'm just in this constant state of, I'm not working out like I like to. Like, I work out because it's amazing for my mental health. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel fit, makes me feel healthy. I like the feeling of being toned, which for some reason there's a taboo about that as well. But, you know, that's just how I like my body to be. It's always been that way. And I'm not doing that at the moment because I haven't got time. I'm eating crap because I haven't got time. I'm not getting as much sleep, so I've got bags under my eyes. I look tired. I'm not drinking enough water, so like my skin's like just dehydrated from the inside out. So I think now I'm more conscious of the way I look than when I first had him.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like I'm going through this phase at the moment. Number one, where I look back at my pre-pregnancy self and I'm like, wow, I looked amazing. But I have to remind myself that I didn't feel it at the time. And that's what reminds me that it's actually not about what our bodies look like, because it's about our mindset. Because if we, it's like, I look at my body from when I, like a few years ago before Alf was on the scene. And I remember feeling really insecure, not having much self-esteem, thinking like, I wish I was the type of person that could get away with wearing crop tops. And now I look back, and if I could go and tell my younger self, I'd be like, girl, put those crop tops on. You look amazing. Do not settle for shit from men. Like, you are a fucking goddess. Like, you strut your stuff. But I didn't feel it then. And I think we can all get a bit fascinated, I think, especially in the like early throes of new mum life, of like being like, will I get my body back? And number one, like, our body obviously never went anywhere. And number two, I mean, it is going to change, but we'll also look back in 5-10 years and be like, God, what were we worried about now? So I feel like I want my future self to come back and be like, girl, strut your stuff.
Yeah, honestly, Ashley, like, when, like, even now I do it, maybe like I'll have a, you know, sometimes if I want to find an old picture for a post I've got to do or something like that, even now if I scroll back to like 3 months ago and I'll find these pictures, I'm like, why on earth didn't I post that picture? And I know why I didn't, because at the time didn't like it of myself. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why do you, like, and I honestly think a huge amount of female population are exactly the same. At the time, you do not appreciate how amazing you are and how great you look, how, like, amazing that outfit was, and, you know, how fabulous your makeup looked that day, how beautiful your body is, like, and all this stuff, and you just don't appreciate it at the time. And every time I see a picture of myself from like the past, whether it be like a month ago or 5 years ago, I think to myself, I need to start reconditioning my brain to appreciate every single moment, because every single moment you do look good in that given moment, and you're constantly changing. Like, you never stay the same.
I'm nodding along because I have it where I think I look like horrible. And then I look back even a month ago, I'm like, I look really good then. And so it's like, why can't I just believe that? And I feel like all we've done is talk about the way we look, but is it? I do feel like, why? I wonder if that is a thing that we all have. Like, why can't we appreciate how we look here and now?
I think that's it. I think we just don't. There's something in our brains.
Conditioned to... Well, I guess that is like the beauty industry, the diet industry. We're all like so conditioned to want to be a certain way, and also think that happiness is in changing our appearance or whatever it is. But I think it's going back to what you said earlier. If I eat well, it doesn't really have anything to do with how my body looks, but it's like the nourishment, drinking water, that is like the number one thing, isn't it? I think I'm a bit like you, that I went through pregnancy and I actually really enjoyed the changes of pregnancy. I didn't enjoy so much pelvic girdle pain and not being able to walk and not being able to turn over in bed. But I loved seeing my body, and I felt like my body was made of magic just watching this like thing grow in me. And then even like the beginning of postnatal, I was just in awe. I was like, I will never hate you again, because you've just done this amazing thing. And obviously bodies are amazing. Like, they keep us alive and they let us climb mountains and kiss people and, you know, all those amazing things that we would not be able to do if we didn't have a body. And also we'd look really weird if we didn't have a body, but do you know what I mean? But it's like, I feel like then you get past, I've just hit the, like that time now that Alf's been out of me longer than he was in me. And it's almost like, at what stage have I no longer got a postnatal body, or do I always have a postnatal body? And is this, at the beginning I was like, oh, it's changing. And now I'm like, is this just my body now? Or is this?
Yeah, I think your body's always going to be a little bit different, because I don't think you're kind of like your hips or, you know, your boobs, they're never going to be the same. Like mine is certainly not the same. Everything loses its form a little bit, I'd say. But it's just a new body, and it sometimes just takes a while to get used to it.
That's the thing. I don't feel like it's necessary that I love or hate my body more or less than I did beforehand. It's more that it feels like someone else's body. It's a different body. Yeah. And that's quite confusing. Did you feel like that?
Yeah. Do you know, actually, some of your posts I've really resonated with, some of the ones where you're talking about your boobs. Because when I was pregnant, my boobs were absolutely, well, I mean, for me, enormous, because I've never had boobs. And it felt so alien to me. And I suddenly realised what all my friends with big boobs were talking about when they said they didn't like getting their cleavage out all the time because people would stare. And I remember I always say to them, oh my God, get it out. Like, your boobs are amazing. Like, if I had big boobs, I'd get them out all the time. And then I remember when I finally got them, when I was pregnant, I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Why you all felt like this, like, you know, that men stare at your boobs, because they do, don't they?
They really do.
Whereas I'd never had that issue before, because it was basically a breastbone and that were nipples and that was it.
It's so interesting, isn't it? And I don't know about you, and I know it's ironic because we're talking a lot about bodies and image now, but there's something about having a baby that I feel like there's more scrutiny and pressure on the way you look than there, I feel like there ever has been before. And like I said, I know that that's ironic because it's what we're talking about now, but it's, I feel like, I mean, I know that me and you've spoken about this in the past, that suddenly the moment the baby's out, it's like people become fascinated with your, and I hate this expression, but baby weight, which is essentially what's left from your body of doing this amazing, miraculous thing. And like, some people lose the weight. I hate even saying that phrase, but lose it very quickly. People like Emily Ratajkowski, who then get really trolled and told that they're irresponsible and not good role models. Yeah. And then other people would find it harder to shift, or maybe not want to shift it, or be left with like tummy gaps and scarring and prolapses and all of those things. And also I feel like people really celebrate and shame weight loss way more than before you have a baby. Did you find that? And what's your experience with that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I was, can't remember who I was talking to about this, but I was saying to someone, I think it was another mummy influencer, about the fact, because I, after having Cooper, I did go back to kind of like my, I mean, I definitely didn't go back to exactly what I looked like before, but I wasn't far off quite quickly. Not because I was doing anything like limiting what I was eating or anything like that. I think it was purely Cooper was sapping every ounce of anything out of me. But I felt bad for even posting any part of my body online. Because I felt like everyone was like, oh, well, it's because I got a lot of, well, it's all right for you pinging back. It's all right for you. You've got a great figure. What about us mums that, you know, haven't pinged back? And I was like, but it's not my fault. It's not my fault my body looks a certain way. And now it's kind of, I'm being shamed for the way my body's looking after having a baby. And it really, really got
me down. And I definitely started kind of like posting less of my body because I was actually ashamed. I was ashamed that I was still a size 8. And I was ashamed that I didn't have, you know, stretch marks, for instance. No one in my family do. It's just is what it is. We just don't have stretch marks. But you know, it's all these things. And the thing was, nobody said, how's your pelvic floor though? Have you got a prolapse? It was all just, well, you look great, so it's all right for you. And I was like, well, actually, I wet myself whenever I jump. I've got a prolapse. I have literally zero pelvic floor. And my boobs are like foreign objects on my body. But nobody asks you that.
I talk about this a lot. I feel so passionately that like any form of body shaming, it's like the kind of expression real women, as if like women who aren't naturally really slight or athletic aren't real. And that kind of, I think that's not promoting body confidence. That's actually just shaming another type of body. But also to reduce the only time I ever heard any talk about postnatal and the postnatal journey was in relation to weight. So are you going to bounce back? Do you want to bounce back? How's your weight? Are you going to lose the baby weight? And it was all about weight loss. So then when I was going through fecal incontinence, incontinence, piles, prolapse, to be honest, like my weight was the last thing on my mind. I do struggle with the size of my boobs because they were big beforehand. And now I'm trying to get used to life with boobs 5 times bigger.
Yeah.
And that is something that maybe I'll consider correcting, but obviously there's no point in thinking about it until I stop breastfeeding. And that I feel like is a whole other story and conversation and decision for another time. But there is so much more to the postnatal journey than the way in which we look and how our body weighs. And like you said, I feel like if I posted pictures of my body before, it was kind of like, for me, I mean, there was less like comparison and judgment. Whereas I feel like now that I'm a mom, it's very much, I think like, oh, is my body like too big? Is it not big enough? Is it this? Is it that? Because I'm so worried about being considered irresponsible. But actually the fact that anyone has to worry about how their own body looks and whether that is through healthy lifestyle and exercise or whether that is through, you know, I've got stretch marks and I actually love them and I hate the fact they're always considered a flaw because I actually see it as a tattoo from Mother Nature because everybody gets tattoos to mark different parts of their journey. And I have stretch marks, one from when I had a lump when I was 15 that ended up not being cancerous, but it was, you know, like a big part of my journey. And then I've got stretch marks on my bum and my hips from ALF. And I was like, how nice is that? That my body grew a human and I get these little like stripes to kind of commemorate this time. And I hate the fact that it's even like a celebration if someone doesn't have stretch marks. Or I get people messaging being like, how did you get away with stretch marks? And this whole thing, it's still kind of like weaponizing and judging women for their bodies. Presuming that weight loss is always positive when actually I lost loads of weight recently because I had COVID and obviously I was breastfeeding through it. I was really ill. Alf was really ill. And I've actually dropped down to the size that I was before I was pregnant, but it's not healthy because I was ill. And to be congratulated on that, I find it a bit eerie.
It is. I talked to someone recently about that, of when you get the praise for losing weight, not necessarily in the most the healthiest way, not that you were trying, but other people that are, then when you're congratulated, it feeds you. It feeds into, it's like, oh my God, they've said I've done really well. They said I look amazing. I'm going to carry this on. So I can see why it's a really, really easy downward spiral for some people.
Yeah. And do you know what? I saw it recently. I think it was Keisha, who's an ex-sugar babe, had gone to Leanne from Little Mix's 30th birthday, and she put a tweet up with a picture of Leanne saying, wow, doesn't she look amazing? Which she did. Doesn't she look amazing? Snapped back after twin, already snapped back just after giving birth to twins. And I was like, that's a really weird thing because like you can say someone looks amazing and it doesn't have to reference their weight. But it's almost like how... like she might be, like you said, she might be going through incontinence or piles or prolapse or insomnia or depression or all of these things. Yeah. And so to make someone, to kind of like worship them for their size. And it also plays into the fact that for people like me who didn't snap back straight away, it's like, so am I not, do I not look amazing, or am I not worthy of praise because I didn't, yeah. I didn't snap back. I mean, I had my, I think, I don't even think I wore a top for the first like month or two of pregnancy. Yeah. I did not, it was not a glamorous new mum.
Oh God, I wasn't, I was leaking from everywhere. I was literally just like, got constantly just everywhere was just wet. I was just like, I just can't move from this bed. I'm a mess.
Yeah. How old is Cooper now, Georgia?
Cooper's 3.5, well, just over 3.5. It'll be 4 in January, which is mad.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, so do you feel like you have been on a journey of self-image? Do you still feel like a new mum and a do you still feel like you have a postnatal body?
Yeah, I do actually a little bit, but I feel like it's more postnatal body because I've kind of not sorted the parenting side of things where my life is. I mean, my life's never going to go back to how it was because I now have a child, but I've still, even like 3.5 years in, I've not managed to kind of like sort my timings so that I can kind of like do everything that I want to do to make me feel like me. And I suppose that's a sacrifice you've got to make, isn't it? But, you know, like, for instance, exercise, which is one of my, like, was one of my top things to make me feel so good, is the one thing that's taken the biggest backseat. Because I'm like, right, well, that'll just have to wait. I've not got time to do that. I've not got time to go out and do that. I've got work to do. I've got a child to look after. I've got house to clean. So I think, yeah, I do still feel like that because I haven't got my kind of everything I want to do in order and how I want it. But then that might be the slight control freak in me with it all as well, of like liking things a certain way and it's never going to be that certain way again.
Do you know what? It's actually like quite reassuring to me to feel like, obviously I want you to have it all figured out and I want you to be able to like do the things that are important to you, but to know that I'm like not alone in it, because since he was 9 months, I kind of felt like, oh, I should have it all figured out by now. And actually it's really hard to like figure out the childcare. And I feel really lucky that I've got Tommy's parents near and they will come like one day a week or sometimes on the weekend. But I find it really hard even like not to resent Tommy sometimes.
Oh, like, massively so.
Really?
Because yeah, of course. Because for some reason, still, in this modern world, it seems to fall on the women to be the main caregiver, when actually a lot of women have the exact same careers as the men, but because we're the mother, we're the ones that have to wash and clean and organise childcare. And if our diaries clash, we're normally the ones that have to sacrifice the going out or the, you know, the event or the work commitment. And I don't quite know why that's still a thing.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I would say, like, even in our decision to be parents, it was a very much 50-50 decision. And the agreement was like, yeah, 50-50. Tom's always been really, is paternal the word or is it maternal?
Yeah.
But anyway, paternal. He's always loved kids and always really wanted kids, whereas I was much more of a cold-hearted bitch. I was always like, I don't know if it's for me. But anyway, when we decided to have Alf, we were very much like 50-50 parenting. And I think it really took me by surprise how kind of old-fashioned and gendered the roles seem. And that's not a diss at Tommy, because he actually is amazing and he always will do what he can where he can. But it's more like even society, like the fact that, you know, Tom got 2 weeks paternity leave, which again, he's really lucky to even get. But I was like, but what about after those 2 weeks? And the fact that, yeah, sometimes I've got work to do, but I'll have to like arrange for whether it's Tommy's parents or like the nanny, which will cost me money or, you know, whatever it is, just to be able to get that stuff done. Whereas like Tom can just like go up and work, and it's kind of like a given that I'll look off. Will say I'm the free babysitter.
Yeah. And then I don't know whether you do this, and I know a lot of my friends do it, and I certainly do it, is when they then are doing like something for you and the child, well, which sounds ridiculous, me even saying that out loud, you go, oh, thank you. Or do you mind? Or could you do that? And then you almost feel like you owe them. And I'm like, why am I thanking Danny for, you know, taking Cooper up for a bath or, you know, taking him for a haircut or something? Because Danny's job too. And again, like you said, Danny is amazing. He's very hands-on dad. But when I first had Cooper, Danny had to go back to work because he was filming The Voice Kids. He had to go back 5 days later. Wow. That was 5 days. And he was working nonstop from that point. And I was literally like, oh my God, I'm just been thrown into this at the deep end on my own. What the hell's going on? You know, and in those early days when it's your first baby, even something as simple as trying to get a glass of water whilst you're in the middle of breastfeeding is hard.
Oh, the days where you'd sit down to breastfeed and the remote control would be out of reach. Oh, and you'd be like...
Yeah, or you're water and you'd be like, oh my God, I'm literally going to die of thirst if I don't get a glass of water right this second.
Hello and welcome to A to Z of Men, a brand new podcast that helps explain, well, men. Each week, myself, Chris Brooks.
And me, Scott Robinson.
We take on a different letter of the alphabet.
What? In order?
Yeah, in order. We will find a word that best describes men that starts with that letter.
So it's basically like a guide?
Like a guide, yeah, that's correct.
Well, this will really help me explain myself to the wife.
We tackle topics such as mental health, stereotypes, and stupid things us men do.
Don't forget sex.
Oh, and sex. So join us each Wednesday as we create the A to Z of Men.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast.
Just search for A to Z of Men.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I do really think that, like, resentment between partners, and obviously I can only speak for heterosexual couples because that's like our experience, which is why that's what we're talking about. But it's funny because I do feel like the resentment is there, and it's almost like the fact that, like, I don't know, like Tom could walk down the street with a pram and literally people would like swoon and clear the way for him and tell him what an amazing dad he is, because it's so nice to see a dad with a baby. And that might be the case, but then I feel like I go down the road with a pram and I literally like get thrown onto the pavement and tottered at.
Yeah.
and then if I go out, it's like, oh, who's looking after the baby? And it's like, his dad, the other parent?
Yeah. What do you think?
And it is hard not to like breed some form of resentment, isn't it? Like, because I was you. I would love to just get my work done and not think about it.
But if you were to chat to any mum, if the other mum was being completely honest, I reckon at least 95% of other mums would say the exact same thing. It's just people don't like to always say it out loud because they don't want you to think that you like hate your partner, because it's not that. It's just you resent that they can do things that you can't. And you do definitely, I think you've spoken about this before, but you mourn your past life and you kind of resent the fact that their past life is still kind of there a bit, whereas yours is pretty much, I mean, it's there a little bit, but nowhere near as much as the husband or the partner.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I think because of that, dads don't have that kind of like competitive or judgmental, like, I don't know, they don't seem so like caught up in things because they can literally go to work, come back, play with the kid. And whereas like ours is, it's much more like consuming, like we lose and then re-find our identity in some way.
Mm.
Tom keeps talking about wanting to learn golf and I'm like, no, if you think that you get to work a week and then pick a sport where you would be out for the entire day of the weekend, I was like, it's not, no golf for you.
Yeah, Danny plays golf and football. So yeah, I'd maybe like stay clear of the golf 100%.
You're like,
it's a long sport.
You're like, my one bit of advice is never let them play golf.
or even more than that, cricket. Danny's not a cricketer, but I know that match doesn't have an end time. So like, yeah, definitely not avoid cricket.
That is so true. Shout out to any moms whose partners play cricket. Although I am looking forward to, I'm looking forward to the day that Alf's like, well, presuming that he is into sport, because he might not be, but I'm looking forward to the day that he's into sport and Tom can just take him out for the week, for the whole like day of the weekend, and I get a self-care day.
We've literally just started that. So, however, I've been going only because like it's really cute when it first starts. So Cooper's just started football and I can't bear not to watch because it's adorable. I mean, it'll lose its shine in about a week, but we're only about 3 weeks in. And also one of my best friends, her little boy has started as well, because she's a single mum. And it's actually, that's a really big thing, is that classes like that, so group classes like that, if there's split parenting, it's very rare that they will let you do a week on, week off. So it's really hard for single parents to be able to do classes, because you normally have to pay for the bulk of the class and you have to go every week. You can't pay the amount and go every other week, because that's the problem with single parents, is if the child's at the dad's one weekend and the mum's the other weekend, weekend classes are really hard to do if you have to book them in a, you know, in a bulk of like 10 classes.
God, I just take off my hats to any single parents, and especially like doing it with shared custody, which I guess is what it usually be, because I honestly think that you're all heroes, because a lot of people do stay in relationships that don't work. And so to walk away and to then have all the like admin and the extra stresses that come with being a single parent, I think you're rock stars.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, my best mate, she's just doing a sterling job, because trying to work as well at the same time and like, you know, support your child, it's so full on. It's full on at the best of times, even when you've got a, you know, a partner to do it with.
My friend Dick, funnily enough, today, she's been on my podcast before. She did an amazing episode about adoption. She adopted a little girl, but she just sent me a video. Her daughter's gone out with her friend literally just down the road to Kew Gardens, and Vic sent me a picture with hair dye in her hair at her desk, and she was like, the juggle is real, just trying to get like done in like the short space of time. But
that's it. Like, I've been recently, because Danny's been on tour, I've been going home back to my mum and dad's in the north. There came a point where I was just like, because it's kind of been about 3 months of me doing basically solo parenting for a lot of the time. And it just got to the point where I was like, I can't do this on my own anymore. I need help. And I fully waved my white flag and held my hands up. And I said, like, no, enough's enough now. I can't do it all on my own. I was exhausted, because Cooper's not the best sleeper. And I just couldn't do it. I was trying to work. I was trying to look after him. And don't get me wrong, he goes to nursery. But when he's at nursery, that is my only nugget of time to get all my work done. And like we've talked about before, haven't we? It's not a quick thing doing kind of creating content. It can take all day just to shoot one add, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, the juggle is definitely real, but I was so pleased when I saw that you went back to your parents. And I think this is the thing for anyone, you know, whether we've got a partner or not, like, it is really hard. And I think it's so important to ask for help, because there are people that can help. And I sometimes feel like I've always been bad at accepting that I need a bit of support or help. Mm-hmm. And actually when you do, like when Tommy's mum comes around, it's just like such a game changer, even to be able to like have a shower or have a nap or get my work done. And so that's one thing off like my mental load, or get some washing done or whatever it is. Like, I feel like we have to like almost get over the feeling that people will think we're not coping, because like most people will get it and most people will help, but a lot of people don't think to offer to help because they don't want to make you feel like, I don't know, to like disempower you or whatever.
Yeah. And a lot of the time I think we do power through and don't let people in and don't let them realize that we're actually struggling and having a bit of a hard time. Like, and it's really, really difficult to say help, to say I need help. And once you've done it, it's like a whole weight's lifted off your shoulders. But just that initial thing of saying, actually, do you know what? I'm struggling and I need help. It's just hard.
I think as well, because we have to be like the rock for our kids. So we forget that we are allowed to be, we're allowed to not have it all pieced together. I don't know.
Yeah, you're allowed to be vulnerable. You're allowed to need a cuddle from your mummy too. Like, that was my thing. I went home and I just had a cry with my mum and just said, I was like, I just need my mummy. I just want to be a little girl again and have a mummy cuddle, and you make everything better. And she did, and dad, and my dad as well.
My mum is just not a cuddler. I think if I said to her I need a cuddle, she'd literally give me one of those like awkward pats. There you go. Or like, chin up, you'll be fine. Crack on.
Yeah, maybe like your best friend or so. Yeah. Whoever's the cuddler, whoever would give you a bit of comfort.
We've all got a cuddler, whether it's your mummy or not.
I know, I force it on people. COVID was horrendous for me because I was like, what, I can't cuddle you?
I know, I always find like with COVID that I feel like I was always really awkward with greetings anyway. And now with COVID, it's made it even awkwarder because I'm like, do I handshake? Do I cuddle? Are you cuddling at the moment? Yeah. And like yesterday, I bumped into my friend's mom and I gave her like a hug and a kiss on the cheek. And then I was like, oh God, sorry, is that okay? Are you cuddling? And she was like, no, don't worry, I am. But she was like, you've just made this really awkward. I was like, that's what I do.
Yes, I like to make things awkward. It's like when I saw you at that event, I didn't give you a choice. I just launched myself at you and cried.
Oh, I know. I bumped into Georgia and I think you were just so happy to see like another fellow mum.
Because you asked me if I was okay, that was the thing, because I thought I was on the brink of needing to go home at that point. I thought to myself, if I see anyone I know today and they ask me if I'm okay, that's just it, that's gonna be it, you know, when you know you're on the brink of tears. And then I saw you and I was like, no, I'm not fine.
It's so nice, you know, because like I know that you were like, oh God, sorry. But I was like, no, it's so nice because it also makes me feel like I'm not alone. And I think that's a thing when sometimes we say we're fine when we're not, but actually the moment we open up, like it actually gives you more connection to someone. And if I was struggling now, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to message Georgia because I know that you've been through it. Whereas sometimes when we pretend to be fine, people almost think we're fine, so they don't even ask.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And if you've always been quite like a strong person or always been the one that's like always looked after everyone else, people just assume that you are fine unless you give them some kind of inkling that you're not. They do just assume you're fine. I've actually just recently set up a WhatsApp group with two of my friends that I think it's called something like You're Never Alone, because I'd gone to see them and I'd basically kind of just gone, oh, I'm just having a hard time at the moment. So we created this group just to keep checking in on each other. And it's really nice because now every kind of, you know, every few days it's like, how are we all? Are we all doing okay? Because we've all got babies of like different ages. So it's just nice. It's nice to have that little bit of comfort.
Definitely. And always good to open up. I love that we've covered like so much ground and none of it is what I wanted to talk to you about.
I know. I'm so sorry.
No, it's great. I love it. But what I actually wanted to talk to you about is postpartum hair loss. So I think I'm going through it. And I actually remember when I was pregnant, us having a conversation about it, because you said that you really struggled with it.
Yeah, I did. Because I've always had really super thick hair. And when I was pregnant, oh my goodness, it was like a mane. It was just so thick. And then after I'd had Cooper, oh my goodness. And I think it was when I came to the end of breastfeeding, my hormones obviously altered. And oh my goodness, it was just coming out in the shower in absolute chunks. Like, and it's so scary.
I think that I might be, I don't know if I'm coming to the end of my breastfeeding journey. Like, I'm certainly not deliberately coming to the end. And Alf definitely feeds through the night, but he doesn't really want the boob in the day. I love that I just call it the boob. The boob.
The boob.
There are two, but it's the boob. And I've really noticed my hair starting to come out. Like you said, I washed my hair today. And then when I was like combing my hair after that, the amount of hair that was coming out. And so that's when I was like, I need to speak to Georgia about this, because I remember you said you struggled with it. And it does seem a bit unfair that in your pregnancy, you're like, you get this lovely, beautiful hair, and then, you have a baby and you're really overtired and you're doing your best, and the hair's like, see ya.
Well, I just felt like my body was just giving up on me. I was like, I've got prolapse, I'll keep wetting myself, my hair's falling out, my boobs are leaking. I was like, what is going on with my body? I was like, you'd think it would, like, you'd turn into a goddess to congratulate you. You know, you think you'd like have this gorgeous glossy mane to be like, well done, you've done such a good job carrying that baby. But no, everything just falls apart. But what I will say about the hair loss is, number one, you're not actually... Well, this is kind of broad, but for the majority of people, you're not actually losing more hair than you would normally. It's just during pregnancy, you retain more hair than you would normally. So then when your hormones alter back, all that hair that you haven't shed starts coming out. So it just seems like a hell of a lot. Like, I got to the point where I was like, if this keeps coming out, I'm going to be bald soon. Like, it's going to be big bald patches, but there wasn't. And it does get better, and I promise it does slow down and it does eventually stop, but it is scary when it first happens, because it's a lot of hair.
Did you like take anything or use anything that you found helped?
I used a shampoo by Aveda. I feel like it was called Invati. I'll have to try and find out the name of it. It begins with an I-N anyway. And honestly, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I did notice a really, really big difference.
I'm just looking. The Aveda one is called Invati.
Invati. That's it. Yeah. Really good. Really, really, yeah. Champion,
you know what
that one.
And I think is actually quite good is I've carried on taking the
Pregnacare supplements that you have in pregnancy.
Yes.
They also do breastfeeding ones. And I mean, I'm sure they're fine to take even if you're not breastfeeding. It's basically just like supplements. But anyway, they've got biotin in. And I have found that if I've forgotten to take them for a few days, my hair does seem to like start to shed. But then when I take them again, it seems to stop. So
I would definitely recommend like keeping taking like your vitamins. I did. I carried on with the vitamins that the ones that were safe for when I was breastfeeding. I carried on taking those for as long as they lasted. Because, you know, it's all good for you. And yeah, definitely some kind of, like, you know, there's supplements that are meant to be good for kind of hair and hair growth. So definitely, just do whatever I could. Because I was just like, please don't all fall out.
If anyone listening has any tips, if you've experienced like postpartum hair loss, that then please message. I've got the email askmumsthewordpod@gmail.com, or send a DM, or... when you leave a review, then you can always put comments there as well. But I'd love to know. I feel like this is something that so many of us worry about.
It is
really unfair that we have to go through it. I'd rather almost go through it in pregnancy, but I feel like hindsight's a great thing. You probably wouldn't feel like that when you're pregnant.
Yeah. Do you know what I think as well, though, with things like that, is like anything that's like looks related, anything that could at all come across as like vanity, people don't talk about it enough because they're worried people are just going to think they're being vain, when actually a woman's hair is a big part of them.
Yeah, it's true. I actually snapped my hair a few years ago from over bleaching it, and it really, really, like literally at the crown, it was all snapped, and it took years. Mm. Anyone that's followed me for a while will know the hair journey that I've been on. And so I think that's why I'm panicking so much now about like the potential of losing it, because I kind of only just got it back and healthy. And that was one good thing of lockdown, that it allowed me time for my hair to like breathe without having to get it like styled so much with work.
It's so funny, you know, it's like we've lived like these little parallel lives, because the exact same thing happened to me when I was like in the height of modeling. It got bleached and all dropped out. I had like a mullet basically. It's a scary thing when it happens. But yeah, my one bit of advice to anyone that's going through postpartum hair loss is just kind of try and ride the wave and just remember it's going to stop and it's not all your hair falling out.
I love that. Georgia, we get different questions every week. And this week I've got a question through from Lucy. And she said, I'm finding it hard to get my confidence back after giving birth to my baby girl. She's just about to turn 8 months and I fall in love again every day with her and less with my own image and self. I've been living in leggings and hoodies for the last 8 months and I want to feel better about myself. And I think getting out of the sweats will really help. I want to stay comfy and a lot of my clothes aren't fitting as I would like. Do you have any clothes suggestions that are comfy but don't look like I've just thrown something on?
Oh, I mean, always a dress with some form of like elasticated waist, nothing that's like requires a waist belt that's going to cut you in half. Do not wear tight fitting jeans. Like, honestly, since having a baby, tight fitting jeans are just like the bane of my life. They're just so uncomfortable. Anything that's kind of like nice, flirty, like you wear a lot of gorgeous kind of, you know, like midi dresses.
I love it. Because you can just throw them on, but they look like you put an effort, and you can wear them with trainers, you can wear them with boots, you can wear them with heels. Like, they're very like, throw it on and you feel great.
Yeah, exactly. And then like you can dress them down with like a jumper over the top or underneath, or you can dress them up with like a blazer and like, you know, like heels. So I think they're just like such a key part to a mum that wants to feel comfortable but also wants to look good. And also, you know, it does take a while to get your confidence back. It really can, but she just needs to remember to just start doing things that she knows makes her feel good. And I'm the world's biggest hypocrite there, because like I'm like, well, I really need to do exercise because it makes me feel good and I don't have time. But if she does have time and she can do things that make her feel good, even if it's just having a bath or painting her nails on a night, or like calling a friend.
I like to take Alpha out in the pram for his afternoon nap, because then I know that I get time with my hands where I can like text friends or ring a friend in the pram. And like, I feel like if he naps in the house, I end up just faffing. Whereas if I'm out, I'm getting a bit of exercise because I'm out and I'm out of like the four walls, but I'm also able to catch up with people. That's my little thing.
That's it. I think that's why mums are so good at multitasking, because you have to.
That's why you always see mums on their phones with the prep.
It's amazing how much you judge mums before you're a mum. And then once you become a mum, you're literally like, I can totally understand why you're on your phone. I can understand why they're on their iPad. I can understand all the reasons mums do things that you would previously judge them for.
Honestly, hats off to any parents not giving their kids iPads, because we have simple songs on all the time, not all the time, but in long journeys, in a restaurant, it's everyone happy. And sometimes I'm like, people judge, but actually, would they prefer my child to be listening and quietly watching something, or would they prefer like absolute mayhem? So
exactly.
Can't judge what we don't know. And just to finish off your question, Lucy, I would also say, like, any clothes that don't fit, put them in a box. Like, even if you're not ready to get rid of them, because
I feel like your bodies do like naturally change for the first like year. Obviously you're 8 months, but my bones are definitely still moving. But put them in a box, because there's nothing that has a bigger impact on your self-esteem than waking up every day and looking at clothes that are too small for you. So put them in a box and get some nice ones. Dresses are really good. I actually love M&S do these like cashmere cashmere tracksuit. It sounds quite bougie, and it is quite bougie, but they're just like so comfortable, and I wear them year after year. They last like so well, and that's what I'm living in now as well.
I've seen that on your Instagram. It's very nice. I know. I think I might get myself one of those.
No, they're great. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to let you go. You might even get a bit of time to do some exercise after all of that, but I really love today's chat, given that we've covered a lot of topics that I did not expect.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely to just natter.
I've loved it. And don't forget, if you've got a question that you want me and my guest to answer, get in touch by emailing askmumsthewordpod@gmail.com. You can even leave us a voicemail now on WhatsApp. So the number for that is 075-999-27537. Or, of course, you can leave it as a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, Georgia Jones. And I will see you same time, same place, with a different episode next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.